Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
But also, Joe George, the Houston Texans, mandatory minicamp.
Boom.
Kicked off today.
We're moving. We're moving and grooving.
We are indeed.
Football season's almost here.
Stephon Diggs finally met with the media, Joe. We also saw from C.J. Stroud, who says that he's the captain of this ship, that things are night and day from last year to this year.
CJ, apparently, just looking at people's timelines, maybe we'll use some of these tomorrow or today, has takes.
He does. CJ Stroud on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. He came to the table and he delivered. This is not your standard show up, PC, not saying anything while sitting down with two guys. No, he delivered. He delivered in a way where some could interpret the following comments as shots, because eventually the conversation that Stroud was having with Tank Dell and the two guys who host Million Dollars Worth of Game, it led to a conversation about how to treat teammates. And C.J. Stroud mentioned a conversation that he'd had with my Lord and Savior, Tom Brady, about how to treat teammates versus how not to treat teammates like a certain other quarterback in the NFL maybe isn't so good at.
I've talked to Tom about this because Tom Brady's like, he's a good mentor to me. And I mean, I appreciate him, man. He's helped me a ton.
So Tom, keep it all the way raw with you.
Yeah, and what he's telling me is this right here. I'm about to tell you. Is just his teammates and how he treats his teammates. So I think that's where it falls off is we don't know how Aaron Rodgers treats his teammates, but you can guarantee that Tom Brady treats his teammates right because how he got them rings. Because he'll tell you he didn't do it on his own. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody so like, can do it on their
100%,
own.
But it's about how you treat your teammates. And I don't know how that works where he came from. You know what I'm saying? But so I get what you're saying for sure.
At the end of the day.
But as a great player, you cannot take Aaron Rodgers' greatness away. No, he is a talented dog.
He was great.
So this conversation got to this point because there was an argument about just how good Aaron Rodgers was. Aaron Rodgers has won Super Bowl over the course of his career. Four MVPs, lots of playoff disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a shot there? I'm not sure it's a shot, but I do think it is a somewhat accurate reflection of who Tom Brady, Joe, is as a teammate versus who Aaron Rodgers has been as a teammate. Specifically looking at last year where after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, the dude went to California for the rest of the year until the last couple of games.
Do you think that Aaron Rodgers could have a roast in which people, like, when Tom Brady's getting roasted, it's by his friends. It's out of love. It's out of respect. You're busting balls. Like, you're like, Julian Edelman is not being, you know, he's not being vicious to Tom to just to do it. If you put Aaron Rodgers on that stage, I think he would be getting clowned. Like, he doesn't seem to be well-liked as much. I know, like, Jordy Nelson, some of these older guys. But, you know, think about the way, you know, Jordan Love didn't have great interactions with Rodgers early on. He talked about it. He said it was, you know, it's better than Rodgers and Favre had, but
rock bottom as far as
better than openly antagonistic.
It doesn't seem like Rodgers does get along with his teammates that great, to be honest.
There's certainly some. David Bakhtiari has always been one that picks up the banners and charges into the void in defense of Rodgers on the mean old internet. But you've also seen guys like who was the wide receiver?
James Jones.
I also think Greg Jennings has hinted at things before. And it's weird because Aaron Rodgers made a big deal about how the Packers don't treat people the best at the end of his time there while the Packers were winning 28 games over 2 years, which is also just an interesting take for him to have. But I think the larger point is something to be, one, happy with C.J. Stroud about. It does not seem like C.J. Stroud distances himself from teammates. And I feel like that always has been a bit of an issue for Aaron Rodgers over the course of his career. I think he's one of those quarterbacks that isolates himself. And because he is so talented, he can overcome maybe not having that kind of a connection with the rest of his teammates. But it's still a factor, I would imagine, there.
Yeah, like how we started with this being Aaron. This isn't a direct insult to Aaron Rodgers because he's getting compared to Tom Brady. Like, oh, someone chooses Brady over Aaron Rodgers. Wow, what an insult to Rodgers. But it is something where as someone interested in Texans success, you should be like, okay, that's good. He's taking the lessons from Tom Brady and not being like, well, you know, yeah, Tom Brady, all the rings and whatever, but man, Aaron Rodgers could spin it. Like, he's not doing that.
I do find, like, the quote interesting because it really, what it sounds like C.J. Stroud is saying is that he, to me, what it sounds like is Aaron Rodgers has won Super Bowl because he's not a good teammate. Tom Brady has many because he is a good teammate.
Yeah.
Because he thanks his teammates, because he recognizes that they help him. And then he says, we don't know what Rodgers says about his teammates.
Yeah, it's just, like, we know that Tom Brady is in the locker room is one of the guys. He is, like, ask any of the former Patriots of that era, ask any, I mean, you even remember, like, the stories of ex-Patriots when they talk about Bill Belichick in meeting rooms, and they, like, Bill Belichick will just rip on you and just be extra critical on you, but everyone knows that that's just what Bill Belichick does, because he does the same thing to Tom Brady in front of the entire team. If Tom Brady screwed something up, he would rip him in front of the team. And that's something that, again, to borrow what CJ Stroud says, we don't know if Aaron Rodgers would be okay with that. If Aaron Rodgers would be okay with Robert Saleh ripping him in front of the Jets.
That's why he has to have specific offensive coordinators. That's why he's had issues with multiple coaches. Like LaFleur is one of the better coaches in the NFL, and he's constantly trying to get him fired. Like, the Packers organization, while they haven't won many championships, and I would say fails at that, you know, they have two with Brett Favre and Rodgers combined, three appearances. They're a great organization. Like, even as someone who hates them, like, they are a great organization. All they do is win 9-10+ games every single year. They've now somehow transitioned from Favre to Rodgers to Love seamlessly. Like, no other organization in the history of the NFL has accomplished what it seems like they're accomplishing right now. But yet everything about the Packers is bad, according to Aaron Rodgers. So, like, it's hard to believe that he's genuine in anything he does. But I love that CJ's talking to Tom Brady.
I love that as well. I mean, is he the Peter to Tom Brady, the Messiah? I don't know. A great question. Just asking the question to go further with this, though. So that you saw Stroud be respectful of Aaron Rodgers at the end, but also say, hey, Aaron Rodgers, we don't know how he treats his teammates. That's not a shot as much as this could be interpreted as. And I'm very curious to know if Aaron Rodgers is going to respond to this, because at one point during this interview, the $1 million worth of gang folks and Stroud started talking about Matthew Stafford with the Los Angeles Rams. And Stroud loves him some Matt Stafford. And it led to another shot, perhaps, at Aaron Rodgers.
Stafford, hey. Stafford another one, bro.
He
might be up there with Brady and them, bro.
No, come on.
No, bro. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. Crazy.
Let me go back. Hey, because look, I'm a look, dog, hold on. Before you do all this, I'm a student of the game. Stafford a dog.
He
bro.
Is a dog.
No, you don't understand, bro. You saying that. That's all I watch. I don't watch nobody else. I watch Mahomes at times, because Mahomes does some stuff that, like, you can't coach. Stafford, dog. He will beat you with the same thing every time. All that no-lick stuff, I got that from bruh. Like, literally, that's one of my big, like, I'm a fan of his, like. If I go to LA, I'll be trying to find, bro. But like, it's we got the same trainers. I'll be trying to like that's go to where they're working out and just watch.
That's all I'm saying. Elite, like Charles Barkley.
If you, hold on. If you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee he might have had more rings for sure. I think Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford had more rings than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he have another ring problem.
No, I'd say he had like 3-4.
He might. It's possible,
bro.
He good. But what I'm saying is, his levels of greatness.
He had a Joe George quote in there. He said, "I guaranteed might have had more rings." you can't guarantee might together, CJ.
He also did a little bit of the workshopping the take live where he goes, he might be better than Brady. Okay, he's not better than Brady.
I'll be honest. I agree. If Matt Stafford is in Green Bay and he is not in Detroit, he wins the Super Bowl, which means to me he has two. He has one in Green Bay, and he has one with the Rams. Or if he has at least two in Green Bay. I give Rodgers credit for his one. They had, I think it's like 20 guys, something like that, out for the season the year they won the Super Bowl. It was a remarkable run. It was the most hurt that team had ever been, and it's the only one they had. I agree with CJ. Stafford wins more Super Bowls than Rodgers in Green Bay.
I don't know about that. 3-4.
I think he wins two Super Bowls in Green Bay.
I think Stafford's remarkably tough. I don't know about that. I don't think that the reason that the Packers lost in those playoffs were always due to Aaron Rodgers. I do think he underperformed in a couple of spots, but the one I really think back to is the NFC Championship game where Russell Wilson threw four interceptions and the Packers lost. That one falls squarely at the feet of Mike McCarthy, who weirdly was not aggressive inside the 10-yard line multiple times, which ironically, Matt LaFleur did not learn from in the match against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady in the NFC Championship game. It is a team sport. I'm curious to see if Aaron Rodgers responds to this, because I don't really agree with CJ Stroud on that one. I just don't. 3-4 Super Bowls?
Yeah, I think
if it's Stafford, I mean, Stafford in his time with the Rams and finally in the limelight, he's done well. Really, he's finally getting the respect that he's due. And, I mean, the guy got abused, essentially, when he was in Detroit. He's still getting the absolute bleep smashed out of him. I mean, how many injuries has he fought through? But, man, any quarterback winning 3-4 more Super Bowls during the eras of Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, sorry, probably not happening.
Yeah, I think he gets one more than Rodgers in Green Bay.
But it's just Roethlisberger and Eli Manning, and it's going to lend us into our next conversation.
And Breeze?
Breeze only has one.
I was thinking the same thing. No one has three other than Brady and Mahomes.
And Breeze, by the way, should get slammed for holding the Saints back the last couple of years he was there. He sucked in the playoffs in all of those years, and everyone's like, oh, he's a legend. Yeah, he had some great years in 2009, but he wasn't great his entire career. At the very end, those Saints teams were great. He held them back.
If you put Stafford on a couple of those teams.
I agree with that. Maybe.
Those Breeze teams at the end were so talented.
They were.
He had 18, 19, 20 kind of run there at the end.
So to piggyback off of this, C.J. Stroud got into a conversation about Aaron Rodgers compared to another quarterback. And we're going to try to answer this on the other side. Whose career would you rather have? Aaron Rodgers, one Super Bowl, four MVPs, or Eli Manning, two Super Bowl titles, including one of the greatest Super Bowl wins of all time? We'll discuss.
We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The last segment, we discussed CJ Stroud's appearance on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast and shots that he might have taken at Aaron Rodgers. I leave it up to you to interpret them as such. Video will be up on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel a little bit later. You can also watch on Twitch. Or jump in at 713-780-3776 to call, to text. But we're not done. CJ Stroud is delivering us content during a very, very low content month in the sports calendar.
He's giving us another one tomorrow.
We're very thankful for that. But Stroud, while on this podcast, piggybacking off of their Aaron Rodgers, if he was on a better team, would he have more? Would Matt Stafford have more? Does he treat his teammates the best? A conversation about Eli Manning's career, two Super Bowl titles against the New England Patriots, upset victories, both of them, versus Aaron Rodgers' career, Super Bowl victory over the Steelers, four MVPs was had. Here's how it sounded.
I ain't talking about Tom Brady. If you had to pick a career to have, I'm going to have Aaron Rodgers' career or I'm going to have Eli Manning's career. Who career are you taking?
You want the rings, dog. You don't want...
That's all that matters, yeah. The rings.
Eli got two.
Guess what fans don't celebrate? MVP trophies? We don't give a fuck about that. That's for you, buddy. To sit at your fucking crib.
Yeah, I feel that.
We give a fuck about rings.
So, if you want to take a look at it from a career earnings perspective, I think Rodgers has made something like $350 million. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning, $240. I don't know from a...
Some of that's timing, of course, yeah.
And then you got the New York taxes, the Wisconsin taxes, the endorsements. Would you rather be... Rodgers or Eli? If I had to pick between the two, and while I actually like Eli the guy, and maybe I'm biased because he beat not only my Patriots in two Super Bowls, but he also beat my Florida Gators in the first time I ever went to a Gator game. But I look at Eli Manning, and I'm never going to think of him as an all-time great. In fact, I think it's debatable that he's even a Hall of Famer. He'll get in because he played in New York.
I don't think it should be debatable. He shouldn't be in. I don't think it's all fair.
I'm with you there. That will rub some the wrong way because they will go back to what this conversation is all about at the very beginning. It's about the titles that you win as a Super Bowl, sort of in the same way that we have these how many rings do you have conversations with players in the NBA. But Eli does have two to Aaron Rodgers' one. And while Aaron Rodgers might have four MVPs, it's been a long time since he's been in the Super Bowl. And I don't think he's going to the Super Bowl with the New York Jets this year or next year. So with all that said, which of these two careers would you rather have? You also have to think about this with Eli. Those Giants teams got great performances out of Eli in moments in those big games. Moments. Not the entirety of. Eli made big throws when he needed to. He escaped the rush for the David Tyree throw. It was a great escape of the rush. And he made a beautiful throw to Mario Manningham to help them win the second Super Bowl over the Patriots. But the reason the Giants won those games, as we talk about a team sport, is because the front four for the Giants just were in Tom Brady's face all day and New England's offense could never get going. I feel like Eli gets a little bit too much credit for those two Super Bowls, no matter what happened in the playoff run up to that. And then look at his win-loss record over the course of his career. We're talking about a 500 quarterback who also threw a lot of interceptions. No one is saying Eli Manning is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. You might say he had a more successful career, but if you watch the two play, Rodgers, no matter how annoying he might be off the field, is a bit of an artist with the way that he plays, with his ability to escape the rush, how effortless he makes his throws. Yeah. Eli has never quite been that.
Man, I don't really like that. I hate this take by CJ Stroud. I'll be honest. I understand it's about rings, but that's not maybe he didn't like fully grasp the question.
Well,
because if the question is like who, how many Super Bowls do you want to win? Yeah, you want two or one.
But also think about it from this perspective. We're all sitting here. We didn't play in the NFL. If you're being asked what you would rather have, rings or the MVPs, you're going to look like a douche if you are the one that wants the MVP.
Yeah, but you...
That's part of this.
Stroud's
doing the political thing here.
Yeah, you can't sit there and go like, well, Brady won all the rings because he was such a great teammate. And we don't know if Rodgers is a good teammate. And then also be like, but I want to be Rodgers.
Yeah, but...
Russell Wilson might answer Rodgers.
Like, he's viewing this from the Super Bowl perspective, and I understand it. But and he doesn't have what we have in front of us in this very moment, which is just his Pro Football Reference page. if you tell me that in 15 years, Eli Manning played for 16 years. He made four Pro Bowls. He won two Super Bowls. He won 117 games. He lost 117 games. He made the playoffs six times. In four of those six times he made the playoffs, he won zero games. I know the Super Bowls would be great for Houston. I get it. Super Bowls. Yeah. Plural. That'd be awesome. If CJ Stroud's a 500 quarterback and only makes the playoffs six times, five more times over the next 15 years, I'm going to be bummed. I would rather CJ Stroud have Aaron Rodgers' career, four MVPs. First of all, I think Wallow and Gilly are wrong. I think fans do care about the MVP. It was a major talking point on every single show across the city amongst the fans when he was – people thought he was in the MVP conversation by week eight.
And don't forget the great James Harden versus Russell Westbrook.
Have not spent a lot of time on Rockets.
Yeah, CJ will learn, I guess, what Houston's about. Like, that's – fans care more about MVPs than championships in this city for some reason, it seems like.
We all wanted Altuve to win it in 2017, yeah, too.
But, like, it's – I would rather CJ Stroud, no hands – like no doubt about it, have Aaron Rodgers' career. I know it's only one Super Bowl. It's not two Super Bowls. But Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame, top 10 quarterback of all time. He is a four-time MVP. I would rather trade one Super Bowl – for that versus a 500 record.
It's just not enough. The difference right now is that CJ's done none of those things, so we would gladly take him doing any of those things at this point in his career. Two Super Bowls or one Super Bowl and four MVPs or an MVP. He still has to do something where he will have a pedestal somewhere in Canton, Ohio. You don't quite have that yet. So I think everything we should want right now, and we're hoping that if CJ Stroud has the kind of career we all believe that he can have, we're hoping that in terms of wins, that there's more like Aaron Rodgers outside of the just one Super Bowl thing, and outside of for the MVPs, as you were saying, Joe, we would like him to be one-time, two-time winner. But ultimately, I mean, you want him to win a million Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing that, like, as a Patriots fan, like, it was annoying when Brady didn't win the MVP, but it was also oddly satisfying to watch the Patriots beat MVP after MVP.
Yeah.
And almost more satisfying because you always had a chip on your shoulder and you felt like no one believed in you. And it gave you this weird kind of mentality as a fan going into games.
What about Roethlisberger? I mean, like Roethlisberger, easy answer. Roethlisberger over Eli.
Yeah.
Like, it's that's where I get he wants rings. But what you pointed out earlier, if you think about just since the Brady era began, quarterbacks with more than two Super Bowls, it's Eli, it's Ben, it's Tom, it's Patrick Mahomes. That's it, right?
As far as I can name off the top of my head,
Peyton has two.
Peyton has two, yes.
Because
two different teams.
Forever the Denver one. But, like, so you have five quarterbacks since 2000?
It is funny that he chose the most extreme example of two rings versus one, where it's, like, two, you know, kind of pull out of your ass rings with and be a mediocre quarterback. Or, like, there's so many other two rings versus one rings conversation you could have.
The other tricky thing in this is that, I mean, Manning went to four. Peyton Manning went to four.
Yeah.
And it's weird that this is something that's done across all sports. I do not understand how getting to the big game and losing in the big game is held against you. I don't. People would always say, well, Joe Montana was undefeated in Super Bowls. Okay, Joe Montana has had his ass kicked by the Giants in multiple playoffs. He has gotten smoked. He didn't make it to the Super Bowl in many years. Brady has made it to 10 over the course of his career. Peyton made it to 4. If Aaron Rodgers had made more than one Super Bowl, this conversation is totally different. That's
true.
The problem. Like, he never got back.
Yeah, and there's
like
a
Dan Marino kind of.
It's a little Marino, and it was a lot of one and duns where they're like the 15-1 team losing to the 6 seed. There's a couple of like absolutely terrible losses.
And it's also the same team pretty much every year. Like, you look at Rodgers failing in the playoffs with the Packers, it's like every time the 49ers come to town or he goes there, the 49ers ruined him, whether it was with Kaepernick or in the recent run, the 49ers dominated the Packers in the playoffs. Like, if that's what the Ravens were to CJ, then, yeah, we'll view him much differently. But it's I do think in the end, though, we will look at quarterbacks more fondly, that, like, the more Super Bowls they went to. Like Peyton,
yeah, no doubt. But
like
I mean,
Peyton kind of gets this a little bit.
Russell Wilson, you forget that he made it to the second Super Bowl. Yeah. He handed it off on the 1 yard line, as a texter points out.
Like I think it's
he didn't hand it off.
Like I think it's unfair for Peyton Manning to, you know, people like they downgrade his second Super Bowl because he was awful and he was hurt.
But they should also think about the year before,
exactly,
where he had all of those records. Now they got smoked by the Seattle Seahawks, yeah, in that game, and his offense looked awful. But I mean, they started off the game horribly with the fumble over the head. It was just F and from on arrival.
As much as people want to talk about the rings and stuff, like really, it a lot of it just comes down to, if we're being real, who's the better player? Like at a certain point, you could just sit down and just be like, all right, but really, who do you think's the better player? Yeah, you know, like that's all it really comes down. That's why no one has any Eli Manning conversations with Ben Roethlisberger, with his brother, with Peyton. It's like, yeah, because if we all are honest with ourselves, like, he's not as good.
But that also lends itself to, with Brady having 10, I'm willing to admit that from an athletic standpoint, there are a lot of things that Brady did not have that some of these other quarterbacks did. Brady was a great teammate. Brady was smart, didn't screw up, but one of the slowest people we've ever seen play football. Really, one of the slowest people ever. I mean, that's why him juking out Brian Urlacher in 06 is such a hilarious highlight. And
it
is
so good.
Urlacher should have retired on the spot. That was like when Brandon Whedon ended Darrell Revis' career by throwing it to DeAndre Hopkins all game long. There are moments where you look at Brady and you're like, oh, I could see why somebody would pick Aaron Rodgers over Brady. You can definitely see why somebody at this point in Mahomes' career would take Mahomes over Brady. And it's because of what you see. But then you take a look at the ultimate counter argument, which is that Brady went to 10 Super Bowls and he won 7. There's not really a comeback for that, even if your eyes are correct. But what's interesting with the guys like a Rodgers, and maybe he's this era's Marino, except for he actually won a Super Bowl, this will be held against him, fair mm-hmm. or unfair.
I mean, I think it's fair. Like, that's why this is even a conversation, because he has won Super Bowl.
Yeah, like, at a certain point, it does kind of, if you're going to play for 20 years and be good for, what, 17 of them? At a certain point, you do have to, same thing with Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton Manning had to deal with this, too. At a certain point, it is kind of your fault.
Because, like these are, like, they're extreme examples, like, this comp almost. Because, like, if Eli, like Todd the show here, of course, the Giants fan, is saying, who wouldn't want more Super Bowls? I don't know, man. Like, the Giants went 500 with Eli. They only made the playoffs 6 times with him. That's not good enough for C.J. Stroud. The Twitch gives us so much grief, right? But I'm gonna defend them here for a little bit. If C.J. Stroud makes the playoffs 6 times over 16 years and is a 500 quarterback, they will crush us, rightfully so, because that's not good enough. Like, it's awesome he won 2 Super Bowls. If he won 65% of his games instead of 50% of his games, I'm taking Eli. But he's one game away from being a below 500 quarterback in the NFL. Like, it's not good enough for C.J. Stroud. I expect more than that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. But at the same time, Eli throws a wrench in this whole thing, because I think most people would agree that Eli was good in 2 big games.
Yeah, he's not that great of a quarterback.
And he had a defense that was incredible along the way. And I think the craziest wrench of all of it, too. He does this in another city. No one gives a rat's ass. Honestly, they don't care. It was in New York City. You're always going to have the blowhards from New York, and we're going to turn this into a bigger thing than it actually was. Roethlisberger had the better career, and he played for a football team that has much more of a history than the New York Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Roethlisberger is weirdly, like, not always the absolute certainty taken over Eli Manning, if you're talking about, like, the careers that they had. And he should be. It should not even be a debate. I mean, Philip Rivers was even in the conversation because of the career that he had against Eli Manning as well.
Honestly, if Philip Rivers had his same career, just he was the Giants quarterback, and Eli Manning had his same career, and he was the San Diego Chargers quarterback, we probably are having the would you rather be Phil Rivers or Eli Manning conversation.
Yeah, you'd be looking at this great statistical quarterback with a bunch of wins that didn't win anything.
Yeah, but he would have done it in New York, so he would have been awesome.
It's the only reason why Eli's going to be a Hall of Famer, because he played for the New York Giants. Sidebar, C.J. Stroud should wear an Eli Manning jersey on Halloween when they go to play the Jets.
That would be pretty funny.
C.J. Stroud should be trying to have Tom Brady's career, not Eli Manning's. That's my take.
But to combine the segments, when he's trolling Aaron Rodgers, when he's taking shots at Aaron Rodgers, dress up as Halloween as Eli Manning. That would be funny.
If Aaron Rodgers strikes back, yes.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers has to strike back. I don't think any of what CJ said is a shot, but it can be interpreted as a shot, especially by someone like Aaron Rodgers, who seems to perceive
soft.
Anyone that has a differing opinion than him that also mentions him by name. He does not like that. So if Rodgers strikes back, yes. I don't know if you can wear a Giants jersey. It would be funny, though, if you're at MetLife Stadium wearing
exactly
a Giants jersey at formerly Giants Stadium. But it is a Giants jersey. I feel like you're going to have to wear like an Eli Manning Pro Bowl jersey or something like that.
Ole Miss jersey? There's no like Ole Miss Ohio State beef, right?
No. They, I can't imagine. No, they probably have never played.
Exactly.
Where, in what world would they have ever played?
Yeah.
Gallant and George, Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Coming up next, a quick 10-minute drill. We talk about what happened at Texans minicamp today very briefly and Dallas Cowboys drama. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby. Dad,
hush! The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Yes, we're getting closer and closer to football time in Houston. You excited, Joe?
I'm so excited. I'm ready for football to be back.
Are you ready for some football? Now, here's the thing. The NFL's website does not currently have, I believe, an official time as far as the countdown to kickoff. In fact, I've just searched this multiple times. How many days until the start of the NFL season? So you know what I'm going to say? 90-something. Because Gallant and George doesn't do math very
May
well.
May 31st was 100 days.
Yes.
It looks like.
All right, so we're at 95, baby.
Wait, no, this says just under. So 90s. 90s
it's
days left.
90-ish.
The 90s. One of two Texans mandatory minicamp practices took today. Of note, C.J. Stroud said this of Nico Collins. Generational talent, our age's Andre Johnson.
Woo! C.J., spicy take.
We also heard from CJ, I'm the captain of the ship.
I'm the captain now.
And we also found out that Gary Kubiak's going to introduce Andre Johnson at the Hall of Fame ceremony.
I was curious who was going to do it. I kind of felt like Kubiak was the only option.
He's kind of grown.
Maybe in the, it could have been JJ, I guess.
Or I guess one of the Miami teammates, the Hurricane teammates.
Ed Reed. Oh, okay.
That would be kind of funny.
Ed Reed, yeah. Reggie Wayne.
That could work, too. So there you go, guys. We'll have more developments on that on tomorrow's show. Also, as we continue to go around the NFL, here's what Kevin Stefanski had to say about Deshaun Watson, who is having a very strange return from the shoulder injury that knocked him out a couple of times last year. Quote, he's doing everything he's supposed to do. He's attacked his rehab from day one of the rehab. When he gets out there and throws it around, which I know you guys saw last week, he looks like Deshaun Watson.
Well, I'm glad he looks like Deshaun Watson because he is Deshaun Watson.
What if he didn't look like Deshaun Watson?
But is it a good thing he looks like Deshaun Watson?
It's like, wait, is that, who is that? Is that DTR? No, like, that's Deshaun Watson.
Are you sure that's not Jameis Winston?
Yeah. Wait, I thought we got rid of PJ Walker. Who is this guy?
He's dealing with a shoulder injury and the same ailment that Michael Jackson dealt with. And or Sammy Sosa. Like that, then he would be like, he does not look like Deshaun Watson.
I thought you were meant being a pervert.
Oh, well, hey.
He's still got court cases to line up, too, so.
Well, that's
he just looked like Deshaun Watson in that world.
Speaking of court cases, Brandon McManus, kicker.
Cut.
The Commanders let him go. If he played another position,
if
he
was
might
a quarterback,
survived.
Deshaun Watson, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
He's a kicker.
Wouldn't have the money to pay off these flight attendants that he allegedly was inappropriate with.
They're not. This proves kickers are not real people. Okay, they do not get the benefit of the doubt like Deshaun Watson got.
It's the same thing as if like a assistant regional scout got hit with these allegations. Like you're fired tomorrow.
Yeah, you're a kicker. You're probably not that good anyways. You're gonna miss when it matters.
Lost in the shuffle, the Jaguars should have a first-round draft pick removed because of the alcohol and
allegedly, Mara Jiwana on the team charter flight back from London.
Is that a first-round pick for the alcohol, first-round pick for the marijuana, first-round pick for the assault?
And four-game suspension for Trevor Lawrence, who is just learning about being the leader of the team this offseason, but did nothing about it.
We are waiting.
Yes?
To see if the Falcons will lose a first-round pick.
For tampering?
For tampering. Supposedly that was going to come to a close this week.
That would be pretty funny if they lost the first round pick after using a first round pick on the fifth quarterback available in the draft.
I think they're going to.
Which is something that is a result of them not bringing in Bill Belichick, who they thought they did not want to have run the show, but instead, after signing Kirk Cousins to a massive deal, decided to draft the fifth quarterback off the board, regardless of how you feel about Michael Penix. Absolutely effing crazy.
Yeah, but I think they'll lose the first pick. Their first round of next year.
I think they should lose.
The Dolphins did for talking to Tom Brady on a yacht.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins should be suspended four games.
Yeah, but that might be good for the Falcons.
For the Michael Penix show to take off?
I mean, it also would increase the drama
around the Falcons. That's a good punishment because I don't know if it makes them better or worse, but it would just cause such a headache for them that they're like, oh, great.
Because it would be... Like
he's now the phone lines are full all the time asking for Penix to come back.
Like Penix is good for four games. His suspension is done. What do you do? I kind of need that storyline in the NFL.
He's the Jimmy Garoppolo.
Paul's right. Suspended for four games.
Suspended for four games. Let's do it. All right, guys. We do this for the ratings. Just for the ratings. Time to talk a little Cowboys.
All right.
How about them Cowboys? No CeeDee Lamb and mandatory minicamp.
Not surprised.
Uh-oh. Trouble in paradise.
He wants Justin Jefferson money now, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I would too. like every wide receiver is like, damn it. How am I going to get this?
How close can I get to $35 million a year? 33?
Yeah.
32? 31? Yeah. Come on, he's better than A.J. Brown, who got 30.
I'll give him 31.
32.
31 and a half.
Middleman Sean.
I like that. Let's get this deal done.
Middleman Sean.
Me, unlike Jerry Jones, I want to get this deal done.
I don't think he plays for the Cowboys after this year.
Well, if CeeDee Lamb doesn't show up, guess what? Deuce Vaughn, running back, he's playing slot receiver.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's shorter than Tank Dell, I think.
Watch out. By the way, the Cowboys want to keep Dak Prescott past next year, but in case that contract negotiations goes sideways... Per Mike McCarthy, Trey Lance is close to being a master of the Cowboys system.
There we go.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn, for the record, is 5'5". So him playing slot wide receiver is very funny. He's shorter than me.
You could post him up.
Yeah.
Are you gonna, if Deuce Vaughn's lined up across from you, Joe, are you looking to the side at your quarterback just holding your hand up like you're Randy Moss?
Yeah, give him the Randy Moss.
Yeah, I gotta
mouse in the house.
I gotta get past him.
Just box him out.
Yeah, no, just have...
You're going to athletic.
Win the jump ball.
Yeah.
Win the jump ball. Yeah. I think he'll still have me there.
You got that rugby bod. Just squat into him.
Yeah. I love that Trey Lance is now becoming a thing for the Cowboys, though.
I love the idea that he's mastering the Cowboys system in case of next year he needs to be the Cowboys quarterback, where I assume they will have a different system, because I don't know if Mike McCarthy will be that coach. So it's like he's mastered this system that I have that hopefully I don't get fired before he can play it.
June 4th, 2024, Bill Belichick will coach A, the Cowboys, B, the Eagles in 2025.
Navy midship.
I'm going to go Eagles.
I'm going Eagles as well.
I'll go Cowboys, so I can be right.
I think we're going to have another McCarthy year next year, too.
Because that means, because it's really the question is...
All in.
At that point, if Mike McCarthy is the head coach in 2025, I'm officially on, he's on Jason Garrett watch of, he might coach here for a decade and just every year.
Get fired
it's like,
every year?
He should definitely get fired if they don't make the championship game, and he's just there.
Anywhere else for Belichick? Those seem like the two obvious ones.
Buffalo, suggested by Keith on our at ESPN Houston YouTube channel.
If Doug Peterson gets fired, maybe Jacksonville. Yeah. I just wanted to see Paul make a face.
I did make a face.
Belichick and Trevor Lawrence.
I did make a face.
The Saints, if Dennis Allen gets fired?
There are two. I mean, well, money's just a construct for the Saints. So just take out a loan. Put it on the credit card. All right, Kalani George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, counting you down to the start of the NFL season, 90-ish days away. Thank you, Google, for helping me out there. Up next, and Astros in trouble. I'll explain how next. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. You know how much I love this stuff. Give it to me, baby. Two fingers, one rock. That amber, smooth, refreshing goodness to take the edge off of a long, hard day blabbing into a microphone. Yeah, it's a tough job that I do. But you know what? When I'm on the air, I'm a cowboy on a Pendleton whiskey bottle I ride. I'm honestly wanting a little Pendleton whiskey, dead or alive. Pendleton whiskey is so good because why? It's made with the finest northern grains. It is cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood. It is aged in American oak barrels, and you get some awesome whiskey at the end that'll satisfy your inner cowboy. Get some Pendleton whiskey today, either with Drizzly, you can order it to your home, or at your local liquor store. It's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Jordan hits one high in the air, deep to right field. Burleson Beth, he'll watch it go! Jordan Alvarez, two-run home run. Five runs batted in this month, and the Astros back within a run.
Jordan's heating up, and the Astros showed a little resilience last night, down 4-3. They rallied for four runs in the eighth inning for a 7-4 win. They are now on the year a, well, still pretty ugly 2-24 when trailing after seven innings, still 5-13 in one-run games. But considering they overcame a shaky start from Justin Verlander and Kyle Tucker having a pretty violent foul ball off of his shin, you feel pretty good about it.
So they are bringing up Trey Cabbage.
Oh, great.
And sending down Greg Kessinger.
Okay.
So
two guys that we'll never see.
But maybe that's a sign that Tucker is going to be out for only a day or two. So they're bringing up another outfielder.
Okay.
And they're not expecting a long stint on the injured list for Tucker. So that could be good.
So we'll hold off on each of our top five favorite Greg Kessinger moments in Astros history.
Every single time I forget if he's David Hensley or if he's Greg Kessinger.
When he takes batting practice from Luis Garcia. That's what I know him for.
Going to be a fantastic trade deadline acquisition for the Houston Astros.
Mm. Can't wait.
Injured list stint coming for Kyle Tucker?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think just miss a game or two.
Yeah.
Don't put that negative energy out there, Joe. Come on.
Well, I said last year he did the exact same thing. He missed zero games.
I know.
Do they have an off day coming up?
I just heard you mention injured list. They have five off days this month.
Wow.
Thursday.
That'll help out.
Is
nice on it.
He'll be back Friday.
We hope.
Miss today, off tomorrow, off day Thursday, back on Friday.
We hope.
It did look pretty gnarly. And I did love how after the game, Joe Espada was like, oh, it's good to see him walking. And then he left on crutches. Maybe Joe didn't know he left on crutches at the time when he said that.
Yeah.
Because they were not fine on crutches.
They were not in the same room when that happened. So.
Or maybe he was like walking on crutches.
It didn't sound like it.
Oh, it sounded like he was using crutches
yeah, okay. to leave. I mean, it looked awful.
Guys, speaking of awful, the Astros, they're in trouble again.
Oh, no.
This is a real bummer because I thought that the Astros cared about the sanctity of baseball. And, yeah, I mean, stealing signs, whatever, that's fine. But this is very, very, very bad news for the Astros because you might remember him very well. A player for the Astros, a pitcher for the Astros. He placed 10 bets on 9 playoff games in 2021 from October 5th through 17. And he's been suspended a year from baseball for doing this while with the Astros, now with the Oakland A's. I am, of course, talking about the ever important to the 2021 season, Michael Kelly, who wagered a total of $99.22, winning $28.30. Michael Kelly, I think, has honestly forever tarnished the 2021 Houston Astros.
Was he betting on baseball?
He bet on 10. He made 10 bets on 9 playoff games, Joe. Unbelievable.
Why is he not banned for life?
I know.
Oh, it's because I don't know if the minor leagues have that.
His wagers included bets on the outcomes of the games, over-under bets on the number of runs scored, and an individual pitcher's strikeout total. Again, he wagered a total of $99.22 and won 5 bets.
People are so stupid. What? $100?
He's betting responsibly. How's that stupid? They always say don't bet anything you're not prepared to lose.
How much pay did he just lose? $750,000?
Well, whatever a full season's worth of pay is with the Oakland A's.
He was set to make Jared Diamond tweeted this out. He was set to make $740,000 this year. $199.22.
No.
What's up with the 22 cents?
Not even $192. $199. We're talking just $99.
$99. A little under 100.
Why the 22 cents? I guess his bank account was empty.
Taxes.
Losing bets. And he just went all in on his last bet that he lost. Cost him almost $1 million.
Baseball did conclude there's no evidence to suggest that any outcomes in the baseball game in which he placed bets were compromised, influenced, or manipulated. But Kelly, who finished the 2021 season as a reliever for the Sugar Land, at the time, Skeeters, denied having any influence on the outcomes. The Astros released a statement, $99.22.
Also, thank you for denying any involvement in the outcomes of these games, a Sugar Land Skeeters reliever.
While we will not comment on a matter involving a former member of the organization, we fully support MLB sports betting policy and the obligations that players have under Rule 21, which is posted in every clubhouse, declaring that betting on any baseball game in which a player, umpire, league official, or team employee has no duty to perform results in a 1-year suspension. How can you trust the Astros anymore? Yeah.
I don't want to see anyone wearing their Michael Kelly jersey at the Astros game tonight.
I can't get one now.
Should
I get one?
Want to buy one now.
The guy who got the, but I don't even know what number to get.
I want a Sugarland
69
Skeeters Michael Kelly jersey.
A throwback?
Yeah.
to cost you.
They'll love that at the year. Festival.
For less than $100.
This is one of a couple of stories that involve pretty drastic punishments for gambling in baseball. You guys might know our old friend, longtime G&G'er, Tuku Pita Marcano. Big time.
Yep.
With the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
He has been banned from baseball permanently for betting on games involving his own team. He has made 231 bets over the course of his career. He's won just 4.3% of them. Joe, you actually had the numbers in front of you as far as how much he actually gambled.
So this says he bet on 25 Pirates games while he was assigned to the team. He was injured during all of them. And he lost all 25 of those bets.
0 for 25.
So he went 0 for 25 betting on the Pirates.
Gotta keep betting.
Which, fade the Pirates every day. That shouldn't be that hard. He gambled more than $150,000 on baseball and won 4.3% of his bets.
That's crazy.
Because he was going to win the next time. Come on. This is how gambling works, guys.
No.
It is just as hard as being 96%. To be 4% is crazy.
You guys just don't get it, okay? You make all of those bets. You bet $150,000 or so. The next bet is the one that gets it all back, maybe.
King of Twitch says, how can you ban him if he didn't win a damn bet? I think that's a good point. But he won 4.3% of his bets.
I don't know if he was betting parlays, Todd the Show asks, if that's all he won, but possible.
It seems more logical.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if he's just doing, Pirates money line every night and just 0 for 25.
How much is this guy making where he could gamble $135,000.
Are you looking up Tucupita Marcano's career earnings?
He's probably close to $1 million a year, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that, it would be one thing if he was making $10 million a year and this was the case. But, okay, we're talking about like maybe lifetime earnings, $5 million.
Yeah, and then, but to get
a lot.
To get a lifetime ban for
you're
stuff,
losing every
just,
time.
It's just, I don't understand what these guys are doing. And it always brings me back to, like, these are low-level guys. These are nobodies.
They're not Shohei Ohtani.
Right? And Shohei Ohtani was officially cleared by Major League Baseball today. And Ipe is officially admitting his guilt. He'll be sentenced on October 25th. So that saga appears to be over already somehow. Okay. Fastest, you know, resolution ever.
Yeah. They did a real detailed investigation, yeah, for sure.
Because he just admitted to being guilty. Like, it's just...
He's just like, yep. Sign me up for 30 years of prison.
Yeah. Ohtani is guilty.
By the way, 100%. his teammate, the best friend, David Fletcher, is like throwing a knuckleball in the AAA. The guy who was, I guess, implicated along with Shohei Ohtani.
I saw that.
That guy's still playing. But he's, so Michael Kelly can't play in the minors after gambling like $99 in 1 year. Not even on one bet. And this guy is still pitching in the minors, and he's a knuckleballer. And apparently he's good at knuckleballing, David Fletcher.
Yeah, they haven't – I think they haven't found evidence that he partook through Ipe in gambling with this illegal bookmaker that Ipe used. So that's why he hasn't been suspended yet. But the bookie, this illegal bookie, implicated David Fletcher as one of his clients. But there's no evidence of that. Yeah, I think it's what's going on. That's why.
Okay, that makes sense. Still.
It's all stupid.
It is dumb that Michael Kelly's banned a year and David Fletcher's still pitching. And Fletcher's like clearly been in the center of this Shohei Ohtani investigation. And the guy's still playing? What are we doing?
Yeah. I guess what it is that it's an illegal bookmaker. So it's not like DraftKings who can just be like, we have the data right here. He did it. Where this actually does involve an investigation because you had to have this bozo bookmaker cooperate with him.
Maybe. Yeah.
People are stupid, man. I didn't think people would be.
But what if you won a lot of money?
Gamble.
Losing their careers over $100.
Yeah.
Like at least the Padres guy is at least almost $200,000.
Yeah.
They're trying to save him for himself.
I can respect that. Yeah. That he's spending like 10% of his
salary.
Of his
he's
salary.
Actually really gambling.
So
losing every single bet that he makes.
Yeah. Thumbs.
Another black eye for the Houston Astros, guys.
Not correct.
Michael Kelly. Can't believe it. The Astros are actually releasing a statement about this. This makes me laugh. It's sort of like CJ Stroud releasing a statement about being the good guy of the year. Anyway. Galani George, he's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in or to text in. The Astros won last night, but maybe still some reasons to be frustrated with Joe Espada and Dana Brown, general manager. Absolutely crazy. Some of the stuff that he said yesterday, we will discuss. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.